Thanks, John. I think there are moments in life when we pause and wonder about the significance of our own life. Often, perhaps it's at funerals, when we hear people speak about the incredible lives of the people that have passed away. And it stirs in us a longing to kind of live a life that will have an impact on others. A life that people might even say was in some ways great. We all want to make the most of our time here on earth. How can we do that? Oliver Berkman tells us in his book, 4,000 Weeks, that most of us, on average, live around 4,000 weeks. That's till 77 years of age. And when you realise that, you realise you can't do everything and you haven't got a lot of time. So you really need to be thoughtful about how you spend those 4,000 weeks. We need to use our time wisely. So today, as we open the scriptures, I'm asking God to speak to us, directly about how we can live our lives in a way that reflects true greatness. And the verses we're looking at are those that we've reflected on today, and particularly verse 35. In our passage, Jesus has just shared this shocking news. Let's look at the passage together that Jesus shared. He was teaching his disciples and he said to them, "The Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." This must have been quite shocking news for them, but it says they didn't understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him. We can imagine as they walked away along the road after that, hearing that news, what must have been going on in their heads. But it's not what we think it is. Actually, as they walk along the road, they start with a heated debate about, of all things, who is the greatest. So can you imagine it? Jesus has just said, "I'm about to suffer and to die, and it's going to be terrible," and yet they start discussing who's the greatest. You can imagine Peter and James and John arguing that they must have been the greatest. They were up on the Mountain of Transfiguration. It was just us three. Surely it's one of us, and I'm sure Peter would have thought he was the best. The others would have fired up about that, I think, and argued back, "No, it's got to be me, it's got to be me." And all this was happening, just an earshot from Jesus. When they arrived at Capernaum, on the next slide, when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet. I would have too, I reckon. Because on the way, they'd argued about who was the greatest. You can almost feel it in the air as he asks a question. There's a sense of conviction perhaps happening amongst the disciples, and it's a moment of teaching. It's a moment for Jesus to speak to them and speak truth to them. They kept quiet, they felt ashamed, and Jesus was going to teach them. What was happening on that road reminds me of what happens when you put chickens together in a group, chickens that might never have known each other before. They quickly start to establish what's called a pecking order. And this pecking order is quickly determining who's the number one chicken out of the 10, who's the number two, right down to the very last one. And the way this happens is there's skirmishes that work out to the point where the number one chicken can peck on number two, but number two doesn't peck back, then number two pecks on number three, and then number three right down to poor old number 10 chicken that gets pecked on but has no one to peck. The pecking order. And this happens everywhere, don't you think, when you look around? Who's the greatest? Who am I better than? It happens at sporting events, school reunions, work conferences, and sometimes it can even happen at churches. The most popular receive attention, while those less influential rank lower. It can certainly happen with different countries and political systems as well, where people that seem to have all the power can treat others differently. Once you figure out your place in the pecking order, the danger of this is that it helps you determine how you can relate to others according to the pecking order. For instance, if I'm higher than you on the pecking order, I'm probably too busy to meet with you. If you're higher than me, I'm available anytime. See how it can be so dangerous. What's Jesus' attitude towards the pecking order? Well, the next slide, Jesus sitting down, taking the position of a teacher. Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and servant of all." Now, this would have been absolutely countercultural in Jesus's time. Jewish society was absolutely immersed in questions of rank and honor. When they ate together, you had to pick out who would sit where, and it was a real task to make sure that people received the right honor that they needed. And Jesus just says, in the face of all that, forget it. Whoever wants to be first must be the very last and servant of all. And this teaching applies for everyone, for husbands, for wives, for managers, for teachers, for schoolmates in the classroom. We should honour those around us and serve them. Managers should honour those who report to them just as they honour those who they report to. The friendless should be as important to you as the most popular. Jesus, the master teacher, took a child to illustrate this. Look what he did. He took a little child whom he placed among them, and taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." In Aramaic language, child and servant were the same word. And Jesus was showing that all people, the rich woman, the poor man, the educated, the uneducated, were to be welcome equally. James chapter 2 reinforces this. Look what the Bible says there. "My brothers and sisters, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy clothes comes in also." The next slide. "If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here's a good seat for you,' but say to the poor man, 'You stand here, sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" Jesus was really wanting us to know when he spoke to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be first must be last." And here in the book of James, we see James telling us this is, you know, don't show special favoritism. In Jesus' time, children weren't valued. When he took that little child in his arms, I wonder, as he looked out at the disciples, who Jesus would take today in his arms. As an example, you know, who are those that are unvalued today? Think in your mind, who would it be for you? Would it be the alcoholic or a refugee or someone who is a bit too judgmental? You know, who would Jesus take in his arms? Someone who feels unwelcome in church. Jesus says, whoever welcomes one of these in my name welcomes him. What does true greatness mean for us today? Well, I think if this is what Jesus is saying to us, I think we have to be careful, first of all, about comparison. We need to stop taking our eyes off trying to do more or greater in comparison to others. You know, the best way to destroy something beautiful is to compare it to something else. You know, we need to stop comparing and just be thankful for what we have. And then competition is another thing to avoid. Don't try to be first or best compared to someone else. Give yourself fully to serving others and don't try and be better than everyone else. Just avoid comparison and avoid competition. True greatness means using what you have for the good of others and serving their needs, not your own. And you know what is so powerful about this teaching of Jesus? Is that he actually lived it out in his life. He left heaven's glory. He came as a baby. He had time for children, for sinners, for outcasts. And he said, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That's the next slide, I think, there. That's what he said. For the Son of Man did not come to be served. If anyone could be served or should be served, you'd think it was Jesus, but he said the very reason I've come is not to be served, but to serve others and to give my life as a ransom. You know, the night before the crucifixion, look what happened. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Can you think about that? I know there are people in this world who think they have all things under their power, but Jesus actually knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he'd come from God and was returning to God. So what does he do? He got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. You know, Jesus demonstrated what it was to be truly great. He said to them, you do the same. This is what I want you to do. So for us today, the challenge is for us to seek to not be first, but seek to be last and serve others. And so it'd be great. I'd invite you to pray a prayer in your heart that says, I will seek to serve more than be served. I'll seek to serve more than be served today, this week, in my home, with the people I meet, in the church. I will seek to serve more than be served. One of the things I think is great to do is to give your life completely to Christ, the one who completely gave his life for us. That lovely hymn, take my life and let it be, Lord, consecrated, Lord, to thee. Jesus promises, whoever loses their life for me will find it. This is true and living surrender. It's a life that is true life, life to the full. So first of all, give your life completely to the one who's given his life to you. And the second thing is then live your life wholeheartedly for Christ. Ask God, what is there before me? How can I serve others today? What might it mean to consider serving in this way, serving in that way, serving in pastoral ministry, it might be. It might be serving, responding to the needs in the bulletin this week if you're able-bodied. I think that was important to know. Or simply serving more and more at home. Whatever it is, don't hold back. The BUV Support Hub, we want to live out this kind of teaching. And so we've been thinking about how we can serve the wider body of Baptists. And there's two ways that we're seeking to do that, particularly this year. One is we've noticed that many churches, instead of growing younger, are growing older without growing younger. And so we've been encouraging churches to engage and to think about how do we help the younger people amongst us to feel welcome and loved, to know their names, to encourage them and to empower them. And so we've been seeking to do that together as a union to help our churches find ways to help younger people feel empowered and encouraged and valued. That might be a thing for you to do. Find someone who's younger than you, know their name, show some interest in them, encourage them, and just show them that you value them and that you care for them. The other thing that we've realized is one in every three Baptist pastors today speak a language other than English. And so what we have found is that while our churches have changed significantly over the years, our leadership has not changed so radically. And so we've just put on a new regional pastor who has a language other than English in our team. And we're trying as our as the head of pastoral leadership to ensure that our regional pastors are connecting specifically with LOAT pastors, knowing their names, learning their culture, supporting them and loving them so that they feel so valued amongst us and we're empowering our churches that are all different. They're two ways, simple ways, that we're seeking to do it in our team as part of the Baptist Union of Victoria. I wonder when it comes to East Doncaster Baptist Church, how you might serve the community. Maybe there's ways that you're already doing that and you want to press into that a bit more. But whoever wants to be first must be very last and servant of all. And I pray that as you hear Jesus' words, as you seek to apply them in your own life, giving your life to him, serving others out of the life that he's given you, that you would find that you know this life to the full that Jesus said he'd come to give. Let's pray, shall we? God, we thank you, Lord Jesus. You've truly shown us how to live, not through going up and stepping on others, not through putting other people down, but through turning the world upside down, through serving and giving and showing love to those that often feel left out and on the margin. God, help us to be strong and brave as we serve. And may those who often feel that they aren't served experience your love as we serve them. We pray for this church, East Doncaster Baptist Church. We pray for each one here. May each one become more and more like you as we receive your love and serve others. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to now sing our final hymn. Lord, help us walk your servant way.